It's good to be in the house of the Lord, amen. It's been a little while since I've stood behind this pulpit, and I appreciate so much the invitation from Pastor Lawson. I don't take that lightly. See a lot of familiar faces, but I've seen a lot that I didn't know, but it's good to be here with you. Now, I've been preaching for a long time now. I hate to admit it, but if God gives me till the end of April, I'll be 71 years old then. And through all those years, I've never got to a point to where I was comfortable at the beginning of the message. I'm always uptight a little bit and always nervous. So I desire your prayers. And if you'll pray for us and pray that the Lord gets me completely out of the way, and that he does the preaching and he opens his word, and then you'll get fed tonight. And if I get involved in it and you don't pray that, you're in trouble. So I'm desiring your prayers greatly. If you have your Bibles tonight, very, very familiar verse of scripture. We'll be taking it from Luke chapter number 8, and we'll begin reading at verse number 19. And then we'll go down through verse 25, and then we'll pray and ask the Lord to give us what he has for us tonight. Luke chapter number 8, and beginning at verse number 19, the Bible says, "Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press." In other words, the crowd was so big, they were trying to get into him. But as hard as they tried and as much as they pushed and shoved, they just could not get through it because so many people had come to hear what Jesus had to say. And some of the people came to him and said, "Hey, your mom and your brethren are trying to get to you." And he said something that's very strange at first thought as you look at it. And it says, "And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." And the word of God says, "And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship," notice, "with his disciples. And he said unto them, Let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perished. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith?" And let us pray. Father, I bow my head tonight in your presence. I'm thankful for this opportunity it's been given me, Lord, to open your word. God, I ask tonight that you get me out of the way, that you clothe me in the calling you gave me so long ago. God, help us to feed your people tonight. Help us to give them something that'll help them in these last days that I believe with all my heart we're living in. And now, God, we would see your Son lifted high and glorified where he belongs. And we ask these things in the precious, holy, righteous, sweet name of your Son. And for his honor and glory, we ask it. You may be seated. Now, there's a lot going on in the world today. If you haven't realized that, you've not turned on anything or listened to anything. There's a lot going on in the world, and we know we've been living in the last days for quite a while now. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Now, whether what is going on now in around the country and in the Mideast will lead into the catching away, the rapture of the saints, only time will tell. I believe we're close. I've never seen a time when things were set in place that were so much lining up to where this could launch us out of this world. Now, a lot of people, it shocks me, they're worried about this. They say they're born again. They say they're saved by the precious blood of Christ, but it makes them uncomfortable, and they begin to worry. And I was asked not too long ago, "Brother Tom, are you worried about this? I said, not one, not nary one bit. I said, I put my faith in what Jesus said in His precious Word of God. I can go to the time when He called me and drew me by the Holy Spirit and He saved my soul. And according to what I read in the Word of God, it says to be absent from the body is to be where? Well, where's He at right now? I'm out of here before all this trouble hits. So I'm not worried about that. Now, we don't know for sure when it's going to launch it into it, but we do know one thing for sure. Until it happens, until we hear the sound of the trump and the voice of the archangel, until we hear it come up hither, there's one thing for sure. You and I, as born-again children of God, have to live a life serving the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we can live it either victorious or we can endure life. Now I'm going to preach to me. When are you going to preach? I'm going to preach. I hope you listen when we do, because I hope it helps you. But listen to me. We see so many of God's people that should be filled with joy right now, that should be walking in victory, that should be confident in who they are and who they serve. And yet, it seems like they're wasting that precious life that Jesus died for, to purchase for you and me. They seem to waste it, and it's like they're just hanging on and just enduring it like a punch-drunk boxer in the ring. Well, I'm here to tell you something. I didn't get born again at the price that it cost Jesus to save my soul so that I could wander around with fear in my heart and uncertainty in my soul and act like I can just barely make it through this life. I want to finish this thing. I want to finish it well, and I want to finish it glorifying Him. I hate to tell you this, you're going to have to live till He comes and gets you. And you can live with victory, or you can live with fear. You can live with faith, or you can live with fear. You have to trust Him if you're going to live and enjoy that life that God gave you. Until the end. And I hope it's soon. I do. Now, tonight, with God's help, I want to give you something from God's Word. Very familiar scripture. And I won't take long. It will help you have peace in your souls even when everything looks like you should. Amen? All right, as we look at our scripture tonight, we just read together that Jesus just finished preaching the parable of the souls. Drew a good crowd. A lot of folks wanted to hear about that. And the Bible also says, like we read together, that His mother and some of His kinfolk, His brethren, were trying to get to Him, and they couldn't get there. And then we also understand, He says, my brethren are those that hear my word and do it. In other words, they hear it, and by faith they use it, and they do what it says they should do. And we all should be doing that. And then it says that He looks over to His disciples. I mean, He looks over at them. He said, boys, let us go over to the other side. Let us go over to the other side. And the Bible tells us that they loaded up, they got on the boat, and they launched out. Now, when they launched out, nowhere does it say that they had any worries about what was going on. None. I mean, there were some fishermen there that sailed on that lake before, and they knew whether there should be dangers or not. I'm sure they looked around. I'm sure they made a judgment call, and they saw absolutely no reason why they shouldn't get on that ship and go across the lake with Jesus Christ. Amen. Nothing. I believe maybe they were even excited a little bit about it, Pastor Lawson. I read nowhere there where somebody says, wait a minute, time out. You reckon we really ought to get on this ship and really take off with you right now? No complaints. So they were not looking for any troubles. But as it always is in life, in our lives, guess what happened? A storm came up. The storm came up out of nowhere. I mean, it blindsided them completely. I mean, you would think there would be some kind of dark skies or there would be some kind of warning in it. But I don't know about your life. And I don't know about the other people's life. But I know, brother, in my life, every time I think everything's going good and every time I get a little complacent and a little comfortable, you can rest assured, sooner or later, there's coming a storm into my life that's going to shake me and it's going to rattle me and I'm not going to even see it coming and I'm going to have to trust in the Word of God. It says a storm arose. Now, I've read this so many times through the decades, but Barry, you know my age. I've been around a while. I've read that hundreds of times. Time after time after time after time, I read it and I say, all right, I think I've got that. I've preached on it I don't know how many times in 30-some years, close to 40. I've preached a lot of times on this. But this time something brought a question into my mind. Amen. You say, well, what was the question? Well, as I looked at it, I saw a clear day. Late in the evening, gets clear. I saw everybody was comfortable. Nobody was in any kind of fear. Obviously, there wasn't a bunch of wild winds blowing about. And the water must have looked very calm. But yet the Bible says, just like it does in your life and my life, a storm came out of nowhere. Yeah. Yeah. Now, I'm curious. I was the type of kid nobody wanted my parents to bring me to their house because I was so curious, I'd take something apart. I'd tear it up, never had the skill to put it back together, but I sure knew how to take it apart. So I've been curious for almost 71 years. And you know what I was curious about? It came out of the blue. It gave no previous warning. But when did the storm arise? That's a reasonable question, isn't it? I mean, this took everybody by surprise. And evidently, it hit just like this. And here we go. And I want to know when. What triggered it? What caused the storm to come? Well, first of all, I'd like to say that it happened when exactly this took place. The storm came into their lives out of nowhere when the Word was asleep in their lives. There's something in there. It happened. It appeared. It took place. What seemingly seemed unexpected when the Word was asleep in their lives. And I want you to remember that. No. Beloved, you and I have an adversary. Right. We do. Some people don't believe in it. Jesus believed in him. I believe in him because he's caused me a lot of trouble through the years. We have an adversary whose name is the devil, who goes to and fro in this earth seeking whom he may devour. In other words, he's looking for somebody to mess with and take down and cause them to stumble and fall.
Right, that's right.
Has that ever happened to you since you've been born again? I guarantee it'll happen some more too. And you know what he does? He works in the shadows.
Yeah.
He does. Oh, he's the ruler of this earth right now, this world. But he prefers to work sneakily, quietly, behind the scenes, in the shadows, so that you and I don't know he's even up to anything. And as he works in those shadows, he watches us knowing full well that the only thing that will enable us to defeat him in our daily Christian lives is right here. this holy, precious, life-sustaining, devil-driving, away word of the Most High God.
Amen.
And we have everything we need that if we just get into this book, if we only not only hear it or read it, but we put it to use in our lives. And yet, I've never seen a greater time since I've been born again when so many people treat it so carelessly and the devil gains ground. And rest assured, when you're weak, he'll come out of the shadows. When you're not being careful with this word, he'll come out of the shadows and you've got a storm coming into your life. 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Well, who's running the world? You think the Democrats are? Republicans? You think some king somewhere is running this world? If you do, I hate to say this, I love you, but you're crippled too high for crutches. I'll tell you who's running it, the devil. And it not only says, "For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world," it says, "And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Amen. Our faith in what? In Brother Lawson's ability to stand for us? And some other preacher? Can y'all stand for the people of God and defend them when they're in a battle?
No.
You can pray for them.
Right.
You can feed them. You can equip them. But you cannot force them to use the Word of God to defeat their enemy.
That's right. Amen.
This Word's more important than you. Let me ask a question. How many of you have heard preachers preach on the Word of God more than 100 times? The need of it. Well, that's not a coincidence. It's because you need the Word of God.
Yeah,
right. And I need the Word of God.
Right.
It's what will sustain us and keep us until He does come and call us up out of this world.
Right.
Our faith in the Word of God is our weapon to win.
Right.
Plain and simple. Now listen to me. It's one thing to admire the Word of God. There's a lot of folks admire the Word of God. I've talked to them. I pastored them a time or two. They admired the Word of God, but they didn't admire it enough to open it up after they left church on Sunday morning until Wednesday or Sunday if they got there. They admired it. They thought it was inspired. They thought it was good to read it. But to admire it, to believe it's inspired, and to read it will not equip you to stand when the swear devil is on your heels, ready to bring a storm into your life.
Amen.
Good T-bone steak will give you some protein, but it won't let you chew it.
That's good.
Right? You say, "You sound like a simple old country preacher." That's all I ever wanted to be.
Amen.
All I ever wanted to be. It's good to believe it's inspired. It's good to read it. But bless your hearts to have victory in our daily lives and in the storms that will come, or maybe they're already here. We must deep down in our souls and hearts have faith in what it says, obey it, and put it to use. It's all you need. This is it. But you can't have faith without the Word of God, and you can't use the Word of God without faith. So either we have a faith problem or we don't read the Word of God, but there's a problem somewhere. Notice next, the Word was asleep. The water began to get into the boat. Jesus gets on the boat. He's just made them a promise. Says, "Let us cross over to the other side." You think that'd be enough, wouldn't you? He got on the boat with them, and he's so concerned about the trip. Why? He goes back there and lays down in the back of the boat. Goes to sleep. He knows they're going to go to the other side. He just made them a promise from his word that they were going to get on the other side. But guess what happened? The boat is in the water. And it's okay. You got a little problem. Boat's in the water. It's floating. No seasickness. No water coming into the boat. It's good. You can endure that.
Yes.
But Sister Shannon, once the water starts getting into the boat, whole different story.
Yeah.
Whole different story. Hey, things get serious, and it says that they were, well, let me just put it in country terms, they had a big problem.
Yeah.
When you're out in the middle of the water and you're in a storm and water starts coming into the boat, you all of a sudden change the way you're looking at the trip. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So you see, it's getting into the boat. And it's a different story. Now let me ask you something. What do they do when the water gets in the boat? What do they do? Well, they do what all of us do foolishly all the time. Now, it doesn't specifically say it, but if you read it, the boat starts to fill up. So what do you think they did, Brother Tom? Well, I'll tell you. I think they looked over at Peter and said, you ever seen this happen before? Oh, yeah. Well, what do you think we ought to do? Peter stands up in the middle of the boat with the word right there in the boat with him. He stands up in the boat. He says, get your buckets, boy. Boys, get the buckets. We got to bail this water out here faster than it comes in, and that'll take care of the problem. They had faith in the buckets. And I believe Peter was a tough guy, and there's some tough guys with him there. What'd they do? I believe they bailed water harder than they ever had. Because Peter looked at it and his toes was wet to start with, and it's getting up and climbing up about ankle deep, and he said, bail faster. We got to bail faster. And they worked harder, and they worked harder, and they worked harder, and they worked harder than it ever worked in their life. Well, where'd they get them? Same way it gets you when you try to take care of the problems in your own strength, in your own abilities.
Right.
They trusted the buckets. They trusted their own strength. They worked as hard to solve the problem as they possibly could. And guess what happened? They looked down and, Brother Roger, I believe the water's up about the knees now. It's getting deeper and deeper and going worse and worse and worse. And they tried to fix it, but they didn't fix it. Now, I want you to remember something. Jesus, the Word of God, was in the boat with them from the beginning of the journey. Jesus, the Word of God, at any moment could have stood up and said, that's enough of this, peace be still.
Yeah.
And the problem solved.
Yeah.
But you know what? The Word of God wasn't important to those disciples in the ship until the water, it says in the Bible, the boat was almost full of water. The boat was filling up with water. Guess what happened? The Word became very important then.
That's
right. Good.
Hey, we're in trouble here. Hey, we didn't see this coming. Hey, we didn't even talk to the Word of God during any part of this up to this point. Hey, we can't do a thing about this problem. And so they run over to Jesus and they say, Master, don't you care that we're going to die? We're going down.
Right.
Well, that shook Jesus, didn't it? I believe how my heart, he looked at him. I believe he walked plumb to the front and he looked at him like, and he's thinking, you've never had a problem. You've had the solution and the promise here in me, the Word of God.
Amen.
He don't break promises. He don't get shook. He simply keeps the word. You can trust it. And so he stands up. I think he looked at him again. Brother, I can't help but think he don't. I think he looks at us sometimes. I can't believe he didn't listen. You know what he did? Peace, be still. And it was just as quick as that storm came out of nowhere. It took off to somewhere, but it wasn't where they were. Do you understand that when Jesus makes you a promise, he'll keep it? But he can't keep it if you're being a sluggard about the importance of the Word of God. Why is it that people get a problem in their life and they come to the preachers and say, "Preacher, I can't even get a hold of the Lord. How long has it been since you tried?" How long has it been since you tried? "Preacher, I just don't know what to do in the middle of this problem." You had the answer before the problem started. You ever think maybe we took it too lightly? We so carelessly didn't use it, and then it turned from a possible problem into a big problem. Amen?
Amen.
It's a shame that God's people, born again, sanctified, set apart, saved for eternity, waits until a major problem or a tragedy comes into their life before the Word of God becomes important to them.
Amen.
You ever been guilty of that, preacher? Too many times. I'm going to say something to shock you. Now, this may shock you. You remember when Jesus said, "My mother and my brethren are those that hear the word and do it." In other words, they hear it, they take it by faith, and they use it. Do you know, I believe Jesus was giving them a warning. You're fixing to learn something today. He didn't just throw that out of the blue, something like that comes. After he's been preaching, his mom and his brothers or whoever's trying to get there. And he makes sure the disciples hear that. That wasn't a coincidence, I don't believe. I'm going to shock you. The devil didn't cause this storm. No. This storm was specially, specifically, and perfectly designed for them. Because Jesus is trying to teach them to carry on with the ministry that he is having right now and does have, and that he's going to be away from. He's not going to be there where they can run over and say, "Wake up, we're going down."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're going to have to rely on that word.
Right.
And by faith, listen to it preached. Read it by faith and put it to use, because their life's fixing to have a lot of storms in it.
Amen.
Amen or oh me, I don't know. That's an old saying, I reckon, but I'm an old man. Why do we wait until the problem's there? Why does a word become important only after we've messed up trying to fix it so bad? And then we call and use the Word of God. Your strength's the Word of God. Your joy's in the Word of God. Your peace is in the Word of God. Your power's in the Word of God. your all and everything that you need to survive in an ungodly world is in that book.
That's right.
Let me ask something tonight. How carefully are you treating that word? Golly, I don't know what to tell you. We got our house full. You know, we've got kids, and I'm glad we got them. I can't run as fast as I used to, Barry. I can't catch the little boogers. But I'm glad they're there. And my study got turned into a bedroom. My daughter Janice, being a fairly intelligent young woman, knew that I needed somewhere to get along with the Lord. So she buys this 8x12 little building that's already finished inside. Brother Lawson, all I had to do was open the door, put one of my old recliners over there for when I want to think on stuff, and put an old roll top desk in there where I could keep my books and sit down and study the Word of God. And I thought, well, it wouldn't hurt to have one of them little refrigerators in here for when I get thirsty. So it's now equipped with that. And do you know the Lord knew I'd get hot in that building? It came with an air conditioner in the wall. And do you know something? You can ask. I'm not bragging. I'm telling you how important it is. I spend hours in that little building, in that Word. And you know what God does? He opens it up, and I fall backwards at 70 years old, learning things I'd never seen before.
Amen. Amen.
This will shock you. He'll cut a bee tree in an 8x12 room. He'll cut you a bee tree.
Yeah.
Well, I'm squalled and scared the dogs outside. Put them a barking. That Word is more precious than anything you'll ever own or have in your hands or in your possession until Jesus comes. And you'll still have the Word because Jesus is the Word. Man. Now, I said I wouldn't be too long and I'm closing. I'm not lying. I know I've lied a lot of times through years accidentally and come up on something else, so I kept going. But let me give you a picture of something here. When that storm came, the boat wasn't full, right? It wasn't full. Matter of fact, it had very little water in it. It had so little water in it that they thought, we can take care of this on our own. And they tried it. The Word was always in the boat with them, but Tony, always. Brother Roger, he was there with them from the beginning. I just wonder, what would have happened? What would have happened if they just said, well, praise God, it's a big storm, but he said, we're going to get over to the other side. I believe the storm was stopped then. They were hearing what he said, his word, and they were having faith in it by doing that. And you know what? They put it to use. It drove away the fears. But let's just say they didn't make it that quick. Okay? They looked down in their sandals as a little wet. Quarter inch of water maybe. What would have happened, do you think, with him in the boat with them the whole time, if at that moment somebody got some kind of spiritual discernment and went back there and said, Jesus, have you noticed that our feet are wet? He said, now you're using good sense. You know what he would have done? They wouldn't have been up to their necks in water. They would have only had some wet toes if they'd done that. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Storms are coming. Nobody is free from the storms that's going to come in your life. They're coming. This church is going to have storms come into it. Your lives are going to have storms appear. The whole thing that needs to be done if you want to be victorious and not be fearful is to have faith and trust in that Word of God and treat it like it is as something precious and use it every day and fill yourself up with it and get yourself a dose of it every chance you get and believe the Word. You may find you don't need a storm designed just for you. The devil certainly can't stir up a storm because he's watching you from the shadows, but you're not letting your guard down. You're showing him strength. He ain't going to come into some place he knows going to get kicked out of. You know what else? When Iran's getting bombed, Israel's getting bombed, and the world seems to be turning upside down, you know what you can do? This one thought. I began this journey with Jesus. And He's in it with me to the end. And you won't be shook by it. I mean, learn all you can about what's going on. But realize who your faith and your strength and your promise is in. That's in Him, the Word, and the written Word He gave us. Now, I think if you do that, we can cut down on some of the storm. I believe we can shorten some of the storm. And I believe instead of being fearful and afraid and rendered useless in the service of God, we can finish this thing together as the body of Christ with an assured victory and joy unspeakable and full of glory in our hearts. Simple message, huh? I don't know why it's so hard for us to put it to use. Now, I'm done. I could preach some more, but I turn around, Brother Lawson, make myself a liar. I said I wasn't going to. And I hope it's something that you'll take home. I have to chew on stuff sometimes. Maybe I'm hard-headed or I don't know, but I chew on it. Won't you chew on it a little while? Won't you trust the Lord? Won't you trust His Word? Well, heck, Father, won't we just trust Him so much He decided just to throw a revival out there and cut a bee tree? He can still do it. All right, I'm going to pray with you, and I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Lawson. Pastor, I thank you again for the privilege to preach, the opportunity. Father, we bow in your presence tonight, thankful for liberty to preach. God, it's quiet here. But God, I learned a long time ago, the shouting ain't always where the Word of God is penetrating. Sometimes it's in the quietness. Now, God, there's not a person here that hasn't either just come out of a storm, fixing to go into a storm, or they went through them sometime in the past. And God, you give us your promise. Now, God, help us to accept your Word, believe your Word, use your Word, do your Word, and finish this thing together. And we ask it in Jesus' precious, holy, righteous, sweet name. And for His honor, we ask it. Amen, Lord.